Before the universe was ever formed, complete with our earth and complete with man, there was no other realm but the realm of the spirit. There was no other realm. Everybody say there was no other realm, but the spirit realm. And that was because God was a spirit, the Word was spirit, the Holy Spirit was spirit. The angels were created spirit beings in their varying orders of archangel, cherubim, seraphim, and the lesser angels. But what happened was sin locked mankind into this natural environment. Did you hear what I said? What did I say?
Sin locked mankind into this natural environment.
You did hear. Sin locked mankind into this natural environment, and he had rare glimpses into the spirit world. But let's just back up a minute. In the beginning, there was nothing but spirit world. Then came the natural world. Sin locked man into the natural world with rare glimpses into the spirit world. But in truth, this natural world that people have lived and died in and thought that their cause was so important, this natural world occupies but a moment in timeless eternity. All the life of mankind on this earth, the entire age of the earth, whether you're talking about the 6,000 years that the Bible records, which will be 7,000 by the time it's all open, or you're talking about those millions of years that the scientists say the earth has been here, regardless to which of those two you're talking about, the physical earth has been here but a fraction of time in comparison with all eternity. And all of eternity, both past and future, exists in the spirit realm. I want that to sink in. So I want you to see that this span of life that we have exists as a moment in between past and future eternity. So you'll get the importance of how, or you'll get the import of how immense the spirit realm really is. You following so far? All right. In the Old Testament, God would anoint certain ones for special service. And Jesus came and he empowered the disciples with certain abilities. And in this, the church age that we live in, the gateway to the spirit realm is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as evidenced by speaking in tongues. Now notice I didn't say the way to salvation is speaking in tongues. I said the gateway, the way in to the spirit realm is through the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, which is only an evidence that that doorway has been opened. Now the scriptures strongly suggest that the early church considered the baptism in the Holy Spirit speaking with tongues as important as the new birth itself, and they didn't separate them like we do today. We get people born again, and that's as an afterthought. We tell them, if you think that you just would like to come down and get baptized in the Holy Spirit in the early church, you got born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Bam! Because that was needed for service just like it is today. And I think that we've been remiss to ask people to come and accept Jesus Christ and not tell them right there and then all that was available and all that was necessary. All right? But we've had thousands of years now of church history with clergymen, so-called, tearing down the very fabric of the supernatural that was given to us on the day of Pentecost. Are you listening? I want you to understand something. At the new birth, we receive basically 9 things. They are the 9 fruit of the Spirit that you can read about in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on. 9. We receive 9 fruit of the Spirit at the new birth. Say that with me. We receive
9 fruit of the Spirit.
All right. And this fruit of the Spirit is for the character manifestations of the Spirit, or to say it another way, the fruit of the Spirit that you receive at the new birth is to develop your character. Can you say that? The fruit of the Spirit that we receive at the new birth is to develop our
character.
That is the purpose of it. But you can see that you can have a well-developed character. And as I said many times, not have enough power to blow your nose. You understand that? Can you see that clearly? All right. Now, the endowment of power, which Jesus said they were to wait in Jerusalem for and would receive and was deposited in the church, the endowment of power with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit represents powerful service. It is for powerful service. And different from the fruit of the Spirit, which is for your benefit, the endowment of power and gifts for service is for others' benefit. 2 different reasons. 2 different sets of gifts. In Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, he devoted 3 full chapters not to explain the gifts of the Spirit that were operating in the New Testament church, but to explain what had been going on ever since God first made contact with man to reintroduce him to the spirit realm. Paul merely summed up in 3 chapters and gave a name to what had been going on throughout the whole New Testament. And so he said in 1 Corinthians 12, if you'll turn there with me, I'm going to take my good time. If this runs over to 2 or 3 lessons, I don't know when I'll get through. You all don't mind. You did plan to come back, didn't you? I saw. Okay. In 1 Corinthians 12, I'll be reading out of the New International. It says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. In your King James Version, if I'm not mistaken, it says, now concerning spiritual and gifts is in italics. There's a reason for that, which I'll explain. Maybe a better interpretation of what that says is, now concerning spiritual things, brethren, I would not have you ignorant for the simple reason that when he starts to talk about these things, he's not only talking about gifts, he's talking about many different things. So, in the New International, it says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Then he makes a little aside that had to do with things that were pertinent to the life of the Corinthians at that time and not necessarily ours. He says, you know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led away to dumb idols. That is not so really far-fetched today, because when we were unsaved, we had other idols. It may not have been statues, but we had other idols that we worshiped. All right? He says, therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. So you know that people in seminary who are attempting to downplay the divinity of Christ and the virgin birth of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and the reality of the resurrection, they're not speaking by the Spirit of God. Can I take my time and just tell you about this? All right. Anybody that says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, in verse 4 is what I want to get to. Because in these 2 little verses, it says much more than it appears to say. Actually, it gives us 3 different categories of how God will interact with us on this earth. He says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord who is served. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in men. In other words, the different gifts are not operated by a different Spirit. The different offices and the different kinds of service that people may be called to are not serving different lords, only one Lord. And the operation of the Holy Spirit in its many manifestations is all operated by God. Do you see that? All right. Now, the word gifts here actually means a divine gratuity. How many of you ever went to the restaurant and paid a tip? Or paid a cab driver or a hotel person? That was a gratuity. Sometimes on a hotel bill, it's written in. Especially if you go to these fancy hotels, 15%, 20%, whatever. All right? But that word gratuity means a gift. All right? Also, gift here means spiritual endowment, something that you are spiritually endowed with. And it can also mean a miraculous faculty or ability. Everybody understand that? But in your King James Version, it just says gifts, and you would never know that until you went to a concordance or something and actually looked up the original Hebrew or Greek meanings, whatever the case was. And I'm not conducting a Greek or Hebrew study. I just want you to understand what you're reading so that when it says gifts, you know that it's talking about God giving divine gratuity, spiritual endowments, and miraculous faculties to men. Following? Now, notice. The Spirit gives these gratuitous endowments and miraculous faculties. It is the same Lord who is served regardless to the kind of service or ministry. And it is the same God who operates these powers in men regardless to what it is. You with me so far? And these gifts are distributed to men at the will or whim of God himself. I believe it's over in John 6:63. I don't have it here in my notes today, but I believe that's the scripture that says that God gave to Jesus Christ the Spirit without measure. That may not be the verse exactly, but the scripture says that Jesus had the Spirit without measure. If anybody can tell me what that verse is. Jesus had the Spirit without measure. Now here's what that means. Because Jesus, at that time, was the only legal representative of God in the earth. You listening? Jesus was the only legal representative of God in the earth. God had to impart to him all the gifts that were available at the time. Jesus then delegated some of these gifts to the disciples when he told them, "I give you power to tread on serpents," and so on and so forth. But then he said, "I'm going away, because if I do not go, the Comforter will not come." And when the Comforter came, who is the Holy Spirit, the Comforter became the agency. He became the means by which these gratuities and these miraculous faculties were given to the entire body of Christ. But can you see that in a greater measure, it's just like saying that Christ had the Spirit without measure? You get that? Jesus as a man had the Spirit without measure. Follow me. And the body of Christ has the Spirit without limitation. Hello? Or to put it another way, I want you to see the picture. Get it in your mind, Jesus Christ standing at the Sea of Galilee, possessing all the power that was given at that time for men to use. You have that picture in your mind? Now, get another picture in your mind. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost comes like the rushing of a mighty wind, and comes with all of the gifts that Jesus had and two more, tongues and the interpretation of tongues. So that the Holy Spirit comes with nine gifts or gratuities or workings of the Spirit and deposits it in the body of Christ. So now that the body of Christ, mystical, universal, is equal to Jesus Christ, singular, only man with all the power. So that means that the body of Christ today, with the exception of the fact that Jesus is Lord and the Son of God, that scripture was John 3:34. Jesus Christ had all of the gifts without measure. John 3:34, if you want to make note of it. But it means that the body of Christ today, everybody say the body of Christ, has all of the gifts that Jesus had, plus two more. The gift of tongues and the gift of the interpretation of tongues. So that we now have nine gifts of the Spirit in the body of Christ. I keep emphasizing in the body of Christ so that you won't think certain individuals only have the gifts of the Spirit, or you have to be in Tulsa, or you have to be in Springfield if you're an Assemblies of God person, or you have to be somewhere. You don't have to be anywhere. You have to be in the body of Christ. Is that understood? Now, the gifts of the Spirit can be grouped into three groups of threes. Say that, three groups of threes. The first group is this, the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits are three gifts, and all of them do something. They reveal something. So those are three gifts of revelation, or you could say three gifts that see something. Three gifts that see something. The next three gifts that I might talk about are the gift of tongues, the gift of the interpretation of tongues, and the simple gift of prophecy, or three gifts that say something. Three gifts that say something, or in other words, they are called the vocal gifts of the Spirit. Vocal to speak, right? Then there are three gifts that do something. The gift of faith, gifts, plural, of healings, and the gift of the working of miracles are three gifts that do something. So God has provided in the body of Christ three gifts that see something, three gifts that say something, and three gifts that do something. Is that clear in your mind? Three gifts that see, three gifts that speak, three gifts that act. All right. These gifts and faculties and endowments are distributed to the entire body of Christ as God deems it necessary. As God deems it necessary. As God deems it necessary. As God desires. Got that? Therefore, nobody can predict who will or will not operate in the gifts of the Spirit. I'll say that again. Nobody can predict who will or will not operate in the gifts of the Spirit. I'll go one further. If God doesn't have a saved person to use, he'll use an unsaved one. He used a jackass. Because the dumb prophet riding him couldn't hear the voice of God. So before God had to kill him, he spoke through the jackass. Did that mean that the jackass was holy? Or does that mean we should have a jackass denomination? Although we do have a few. I just found out why. See, that was revelation. Another example of that, how many of you remember that just about when Jesus was ready to be crucified, the high priest Annas, you all know who he is. That one. Remember he said that you all don't know what you're talking about, talking to the other priests, he said, but one has to die for the sins of all, for the nation. Remember that? Now that man wasn't in the plan of God as such, but because he was there at the time and those priests needed to know that, God spoke through him. So how much more, I'll go one further. There have been times, it's what Pastor John used to call a holy blurt, B-L-U-R-T, a holy blurt, when somebody will just blurt out something and have no idea why they said it, didn't have any idea they were going to say it, but it absolutely was true and came to pass. God distributes to men as he chooses for the benefit of men. But by and large, the nine gifts of the Spirit come by the operation of the endowment of power for edification, information, and for action in the body of Christ. Am I making that clear? All right? So God, you cannot predict. I'm thinking of Brother Jim Spillman at the moment. Brother Jim Spillman was a man that we met out at Rhema who operated in the gift of the word of knowledge like I haven't seen anybody operate in it. And I asked him, I said, you know, because sometimes we get the idea if you fast until your belly bone touches your spinal cord. And some people think if I pray in the spirit all day long and half of tomorrow that God will do something. You do not move God by your fasting or anything else. In terms of the gifts of the spirit, God moves when he wants, on whom he wants. You understand that? All right. Jim Spillman said he was in a charismatic meeting. He was a denominational person. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when he lifted his head up off the chair or the seat or wherever he was kneeling, suddenly he knew that he knew things. God imparted the gift of the word of knowledge to him simultaneously with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He knew no word. I said he knew no word. He didn't know anything. But he got up and looked around and suddenly he knew things that were going on by the Spirit. All right? All right. These gifts do not necessarily operate in the groupings, these groupings of threes. In other words, God is not restricted to operating in just the revelation gifts or just the vocal gifts or just the action gifts. God will operate in whatever combination of these gifts is needed to get the job done. So you can't ask God, don't go home and pray, Lord, I want to be used in just the revelation gift. I want to see. We have to say these things because it is amazing some of the ideas that people get out of what you say. All right? That's why I pray, God sanctify it to their ears and then their hearts. All right? So they can hear first accurately. Isn't that true? It's true. So the gifts don't operate in any particular combination. You can't. I know some people, I don't need that vocal stuff. All I want is the power gifts. I want to zap me a devil. See, we have spiritual Rambos, you know. I want the power. Don't you know God couldn't give some of us the power? It would be like a baby with an Uzi. Brrr. Kill everything. Mother, father, children, everybody. So God, that's why God gives the gifts as he. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Yes. Amen. I'm glad. All right. I want to deal with the word of knowledge first. The gift of the word of knowledge. Say that. All right. Now, the gift of the word of knowledge is the supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the past or in the present. Say that. The gift of the word of knowledge is the supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the present or in the past or in the present. Do you understand that clearly? So this gift is not involved with predicting anything. This gift is involved in knowing what's happening now and knowing what happened at some past point in time. That's the gift of the word of knowledge. The gift of the word of wisdom is the supernatural revelation of certain facts, and I keep saying certain facts, because it's not all of the facts. It's certain facts in the mind of God that pertains to the future. So this gift has to do with predicting the future. Everybody say the gift of the word of wisdom. Has to do with predicting the future. Okay, and then finally, of the revelation gifts, there's the gift of the discerning of spirits. Say that. The gift of the discerning of spirits is insight into the spirit realm. Both good and evil. Anybody tells you they're operating in the gift of the discerning of spirits and all they ever see is demons? You better try that spirit by the spirit to see if it's of God. Because the discerning of spirits would allow a person to see angels. And you're thinking right now of all those times in the Old Testament when it said the angel of the Lord appeared unto so-and-so. Yes, you are right. He was allowed to operate in the gift of the discerning of spirits so he could see the angel in some cases. And in some cases, the angel appeared as a man. Whichever God wanted to do. When John was on the Isle of Patmos, he tells us what happened. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. You know what happened to him. The gift of discerning of spirits was upon him, and he turned around, and if anybody had been standing there with him, they wouldn't have seen a thing. But when he was given the gift of the discerning of spirits, he turned around and he said, and I saw, standing in the midst of the golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of God. And his hair was like lamb's wool, and he was girt about the paps with a golden girdle, and his feet were like brass. Woo, glory. But he was seeing into the spirit realm. This being was over in the spirit realm. And when you start to teach like this, you can see people. They came to church like this, you know, and they enjoyed the praise and worship. Then you start talking about spirits and they say, and they're just about to say, thieves, do your stuff. Which is why I preface this by saying before there was a natural world, the only existence that there was in the spirit realm. So if anybody or anything is odd, we are. Because we occupy just this little point. Actually, time is not a thing that exists where God is concerned. It only exists where natural creatures are concerned. Because the moment God made speed, it involved time. See that? When light, I don't want to get off into this, but I'm going to. I'll explain it to you at another time, but actually what God did to cause light to appear in the physical world was slow down the speed of those electrons or that matter to 186,300 miles per second. And when he did that, it could be seen in the physical world. Now, let me give you a simple, I want to give you a simple illustration of that. If you went out to the airport and there was a single prop airplane out there and they turned the propeller, your physical eye would see that thing as one vertical object. When it started to spin, you would see it as a blur. And when the pilot cranked up the engine so it was going at full speed, it would disappear from your sight. But it wouldn't disappear. You wouldn't want to put your arm in there. Am I right?
Yes.
It would simply disappear from sight because of what? It was going too fast for you to what? Get the picture? God slowed down light so that it could appear in this physical world. Well, the converse of that then is that if you speed up the molecules and the atoms beyond the speed of light, they disappear, but they're not gone. Where are they? In the spirit realm. That's why there was a whole realm that existed that was real. So therefore, you can see we're not talking about anything spooky when we say there's another, just another dimension. Everybody say the spirit realm is another dimension
beyond this three-dimensional world
that we live in.
And God,
by the gifts of the Spirit,
has allowed us
to operate
in that dimension
when He chooses.
You got it?
All right. Now,
notice that it is the word of knowledge,
not knowledge,
that we're talking about.
The gift of the word of knowledge means that this is just a fragment of information from the past or the present. And this gift operates similar to our own knowledge because spiritual things and natural things run in a parallel. You know, for instance, that we only know things from the present and the past. We don't know anything from the future. Am I right? We don't know. We suspect, we hope, we have faith, we believe, but we don't know anything over in the future. We have faith for what the Bible has said is in the future, but we know what we know in the present, and we know what happened to us in the past. You got that? So the gift of the word of knowledge in the spiritual sense is supernatural knowledge about things in the present that we wouldn't know in our natural mind. And supernatural knowledge about things in the past that we don't know in our natural mind. The gift of the word of knowledge. All right? So that when we're up here ministering, I'm not thinking about it. I didn't come here, you know, to impress anybody. And suddenly God is interested in some soul. And that person is sitting up there. And I make the altar call. Knows good and well they should get up and come. Because they know they're lost as lost can be. They know it, you know. And I make the altar call, especially the men. Men, I want to pick on you for a little while. Do you mind? I knew you did. Okay. And they sit up there. And then I wait. And they start squirming. And then suddenly the Lord will say, and this is how it happens. All of a sudden, without me thinking about it, I just sense, not hear, sense. There's somebody sitting here that such and such and such and such is the case. And I'll say that. And this man still won't come. And then Pastor Sarah, who is the other part of my spirit, because we are one, She'll say, and yes, you have a gold tooth right on the left side of your mouth. And then you see a blur coming past. Because, I mean, God nailed him. Well, that's because he uses our personality. See, I'm the nice fella. And she cuts through the fat. So in the spirit, it's the same way. Can you see that? Can you understand that? All right. Other day, just like we said, I said, somebody is supposed to be down here. Now notice, you are a man. You have something to do with a law enforcement agency. And I stood here for a little while. He didn't move. And then I said, it may be two people. And the other part of my spirit says, you is a twin. I mean, you are a twin. And he still didn't move, but at the end of the service, he couldn't help but tell somebody, I'm the one. Do you understand that this is not spooky from what I have told you? Do you understand that this is the gift of the word of knowledge, information in the present or perhaps in the past? Past meaning, last night you were at that party snorting cocaine in the past. Even past further than that. Spooky? Strange? No. God put it in the body to help you, not to scare you, to help you, to let you know that he knows every hair on your head. He knows every move that you make, not from the point of judgment or condemnation, but from the point of concern. He is concerned about you, and if he has to, he will nail you right down to your social security number. I believe it's coming. I believe he's going to call you right down to, well, he won't go that far, but he'll write down to your social security number. Now, what did you think I meant? 1 Corinthians 13, the reason we know it's not all of God's knowledge, but only a fragment, is because, remember I said Paul wrote three chapters that had to do with the gifts of the Spirit? And the 13th chapter, chapters 12, 13, and 14, deal with the gifts of the Spirit in operation. In the 13th chapter, in the 9th verse, I'm still in the New International, he said, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish things behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection. That's what the gifts of the Spirit are. They are an imperfect reflection of reality. But then we shall see face to face. You know what he means? When it's all over, we'll all be glorified. We'll be in the spirit realm. And we won't have to get parts and portions and bits of things. We'll see. In the meantime, we have been given the earnest of the Spirit, the down payment of the Spirit. Got that? You see, you do not recognize the entire wealth of God's knowledge, but a piece, a fragment, a piece of the puzzle of the larger picture. And you become aware, listen closely, because this is for everybody. You become aware of this gift by the inner witness. You are suddenly aware that you know something about a person, about a place, about an event in the present or the past that you could not know naturally. And the gift of the word of knowledge can operate in any believer and does, except most believers don't recognize it. I want to prove that to you. You remember Let me go back for just a minute. Go back to we're in 1 Corinthians 12 still. Back to the 12th chapter. Remember I said there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit? All right. We're talking about the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of wisdom, the discerning of spirits, which are gifts that reveal something to us. But go to John, the 16th chapter. Okay. In John, the 16th chapter, I just want to show you something before I go on to the word of wisdom. John, the 16th chapter, let's look at verse number 12. Jesus is speaking. He says, I'm in the New International. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, what's he going to do? He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. What will he hear? Knowledge from me. What else will he do? And he will tell you what is yet to come. Do you see that? And he will bring glory, verse 14, to me by taking from what is mine and making it what? Known to you. And notice what he says is his. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Are you listening to me carefully? All right. We will be guided into all truth if we're sensitive to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will take what is Christ's. Bible says in Christ is all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So the Holy Spirit will take what is Christ, that is knowledge, and impart that portion of it that is needed at the moment to us. Now, here's the connection I want you to make in your mind. How many of you who are believers believe that God speaks to you in your spirit? Okay. How many of you have ever heard his voice, sensed his voice? Sensed, not heard, sensed, were aware of his voice. Okay. How many of you were ever getting ready to do something and you heard, you thought you sensed something say, don't do that? Okay, now I'm going to ask the question again. How many of you have sensed the voice of God in your spirit? The same people who raised your hand just before should raise it again. Because if you heard, don't do that, that was the Holy Spirit leading you into all truth. Am I getting through to you? Okay. Suddenly now, maybe for the first time, some of you realize you do hear the voice of the Spirit of God. You may not have known what it was. How many of you have ever experienced a mild disaster in your life? And when you thought about it, you realized something told you not to do that. Let me ask you a question. Was that knowledge from the present? Was it knowledge from the past? You know what I'm saying? When that prompted you at the time, understand my question. When the thing told you not to do that, wasn't that something that was going on at the time? You were getting ready to do that in the present. You following? And something said, now, in the present, don't do that now. The gift of the word of knowledge is supernatural knowledge about those things that you wouldn't ordinarily know in your natural mind in the present or in the past. Do you know you had just experienced an operation of the gift of the word of knowledge? Did you know that? And the prompting of the Spirit, the reason why the Spirit says he does it in many ways, because a believer has that initial sensitivity to the Spirit. When it's developed to the point that you can point out things and give definition and, you know, point it out specifically, that is the matured gift of the word of knowledge operating. But it's not a different spirit. That's why the verse said is by the same spirit, by the same spirit, by the same spirit. It's not a different spirit. It's just a greater manifestation. You following me? When you were a child, you thought as a child. When you got grown, you thought as an adult. Did you have a different mind? Did you have a different brain, I should say? The same brain? What happened to it? It did what? It got developed. And God can impart it to you at a developed state if he so desires, and you see clearly, or you can develop over a period of time and that thing can grow and grow. The more sensitive you become, the more you see. Are you understanding that? And there's nothing strange about it. What is strange is when it's not of God and people start doing things for their own benefit, then they're introducing familiar spirits, evil spirits, because they also are in the spirit realm. You learning anything? Okay, let's go on to the gift. Well, boy, I don't have much time. I want to give you. Go to 1 Kings 19 real quick, because I want to give you some examples so you know where to look in your Bible, and then you can examine other stories and be able to identify what was going on. I'm deliberately going to the Old Testament so you won't think it's just a New Testament thing and these Old Testament people had something that we don't have. 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, Elijah has been up on Mount Carmel, killed all the prophets of Baal, and this woman, Jezebel. She sends a messenger after him and said, I'm going to kill you. And Elijah was afraid after killing all the prophets of Baal. He's afraid. He runs away, comes down to Beersheba, way down in Judah, and he goes a day's journey into the desert and sits down under a juniper tree. And then it says he prayed that he might die. He was lying. All he had to do is stay there and let Jezebel catch up with him. I know it's Jezebel. He said, I've had enough, Lord. It's the 19th chapter, around the fifth verse here. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Verse 5. Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and so on and so forth. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord came second time, said, get up. All right. And in the, must be the ninth verse, he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord. What? And the word of the Lord came to him. Not an angel now. The word of the Lord came to him, said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. And the Israelites have rejected your covenant and broken down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And the Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. What was he telling him to do? Go operate in your prophetic office. And get from under this tree, you lazy good for nothing thingy. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat from Abel, Meholah, to succeed you. Maybe he won't run and hide under a tree. To succeed you as prophet, Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and all whose mouths have not kissed him. Do you know what Elijah had just received? The gift of the word of knowledge. He didn't tell him. No, he received the gift of the word of knowledge and the gift of the word of wisdom, because he told him about things that were going on in the present and in the future. So the two gifts were operating together in this instance. You see? And it was by an inward revelation. Remember the angel came first? Now the angel could have been in, you know, human flesh. I don't know. It doesn't say. It just says the angel of the Lord. But one thing we know, when the angel departed, then it said the word of the Lord. And that's how the gift of the word of knowledge operates. The word of the Lord came unto me. How did the word of the Lord come unto you? By an inward witness. Sometime the word of the Lord will come to you by a dream. Sometime the word of the Lord will come to you in a vision. Remember Joel 2:28? In the last days, I will speak by dreams and visions. Well, what are you going to see in those dreams and visions? Whatever I want you to see. Are you following me? Now, before this series is over, I'm going to let you know how to tell the difference between dreams that are off the wall. Try everything by the Holy Spirit. Rely on the Holy Spirit. And once, let me tell you something else. One of the greatest things that's going to help you to learn how to be sensitive to the Spirit is humility and submission. Say it. Humility meaning that I'm not trying to exalt myself and seem like some spiritual giant. And submission meaning that I will submit to what God wants me to do and not what I want to do. Because it is very easy when you start operating in the gifts of the Spirit to begin to do what you want to do and start saying, the Lord told me. And so then everybody else is supposed to say, oh, well, if the Lord told you, go on and jump backwards off the roof. As they used to say, and kill yourself. Don't you understand, folks? The Lord is not going to tell you to do anything crazy. It may seem unreasonable to some people, but when you check out your spirit, and if you know it's God, and don't be afraid to wait. Don't be afraid to tell God, if this is you, I know you'll make the way. If this is you, I don't have to run off and do it in my own strength. And if it's you, it will surely come to pass. If it doesn't come to pass, it wasn't you. And I'm glad I didn't went. Go. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to instruct you because it's very important, especially in these days. I want you to know something. And I'll get to the gift of the word of wisdom next week, I guess. All of the time that the secular humanist world is trying to tell us that we need not concern ourselves with anything but the intellect, they themselves are dealing in the occult. All the time that the devil is trying to play down the power of the spirit in your lives, he's activating the power of his spirit behind the scenes. And suddenly you can't see a movie unless it's some kind of occult situation. You can't see a television unless somebody is cutting up chickens and doing crazy stuff and goat's blood and whatever stuff, you know? You can't hardly, who do you think writes that stuff? People write it. And it is a design plan by the enemy to bring everybody into the awareness of his spirit. At the same time, they want to put all of us off radio and television that talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, before there was a when and a where, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same became and was made flesh and died on Calvary for our sins and was raised from the tomb and sits at the right hand of power. And the devil has just a brief time to stay here and operate in his foolishness. But God's power is the power that eventually is going to consign him and assign him to hell, from which he shall never return. So they can publicize it all they want. The more they publicize it, the more I'm going to rely on the Holy Spirit. And I might seem a little strange or crazy, but I'm going to say, the Lord rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Come out of him. I rebuke that thing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I won't even, I remember back when they showed The Omen. I went to see The Omen. And people were sitting there just having a time, thought they were being entertained. And my spirit gnarled up inside of me. And then came The Exorcist, and I refused to go to see it. Why, are you afraid? No, but I'm not going to program my mind with that mess when I could be dealing with the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits so that I could perceive that that was of the devil. It wasn't just a story designed to entertain. And that's why the children are running around doing these crazy things and imitating. If they're going to imitate somebody, let them imitate you walking a holy life. Let them imitate you living a holy life. Let them imitate you doing the things of God and stand your ground. God bless you, Ruby and Jerome. Take something to come down and admit you're wrong. Amen. God forgives you. We forgive you. And it's an example that we here are going to stand for right. Hallelujah. And the whole world may say, you ought to let your child have freedom. Yeah, freedom to go over the precipice of eternity into eternal damnation. That's not freedom. That is bondage. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In my next 1 minute and 38 seconds. Next time we're going to talk about the gift of the word of wisdom, which is the supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit concerning the divine purpose in the mind and will of God. It is not all of God's wisdom, but it is a word. It is a fragment. And the difference between this gift and the gift of the word of knowledge is, as I said, the gift of the word of wisdom predicts events in the future so that all of the prophets of the Old Testament were operating in the gift of the word of wisdom when they predicted. And if you want to see a whole book full of the operation of the gift of the word of wisdom in all its various manifestations, read the book of Daniel. Daniel predicted things not only concerning Israel at the present time, but the angel of the Lord came to him with information about what was going to happen to not only to Israel, but to the whole world, to the end of time, and allowed him to see right into eternity. That was a part of the purpose and the plan of God that he was allowing a man to see for all of our benefit. It was left here for us to read today. When you read the book of Daniel, you're reading present day headlines. Hallelujah. Let us pray.